Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us grasp the importance of knowing your Son as he really is. Not what we want to make of him, but as Jesus revealed himself to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past week, there are a number of articles online, and I'm going to share some portions of them with you today because they really will help you understand the importance of knowing Jesus as he really is. September 25th, there's an article in the Daily Beast titled The Biggest Myths About Jesus Christ. And whenever I see titles about articles, I like to read them to learn what people are saying and thinking about Jesus. There really wasn't much to the article except a few sentences in the last section. Historians know almost nothing about who Jesus was. So I'm quoting, "When scholars engage in this kind of work, they often end up with a handful of facts. He was born, that he is Jesus. He was born, he was baptized, he performed healings, he was crucified," from which they build their portrait of Jesus. What fact was missing? Did you notice what fact was missing? Born, healings, crucified. What's one of the facts that historians all agree on missing? The empty tomb. That's a fact all the historians agree on, skeptics alike. That's a historical fact, the empty tomb. A little farther down in the article, another quote, and I want you to pay close attention, for this is very important. Quoting again. "Finally, as William Arnold has written in the conclusion of his book, The Symbolic Jesus, historical portraits of Jesus don't matter because the Jesus who is important to our own day is not the Jesus of history, but the symbolic Jesus of contemporary discourse. It's what people say about Jesus in our own time that actually ends up mattering." So this is the main point of the article. The Jesus who is important to our day is not the Jesus of history, but the symbolic Jesus of contemporary discourse. That's contemporary conversation. It is what people say about Jesus in our own time that actually ends up mattering. Now for you, how do those points impact you? Do you agree or disagree? Are you thinking, whoa, that's not right. The Jesus of history doesn't matter. The Jesus of contemporary conversation is what matters. That's not true. The Jesus of history matters. In other words, the Jesus the Gospels reveal and the rest of the New Testament testifies to, that is the Jesus who redeems. That is the Jesus alive that gives eternal life. That is the Jesus you need to have the Father too. A symbolic Jesus will not save. Only the real Son of the Father, crucified and risen, will save. This mumbo jumbo will not give you eternal life. It may make your conscience feel a little better for a moment, but will not take you. It will not take you from the kingdom of darkness and place you in the kingdom of light, that kingdom of Christ. Remember the time Jesus turned to his disciples and asked, "Who do you say that I am?" This is a question we all need to answer as individuals. I cannot answer that question for you. I can point you to the truth. I can preach the truth. But it is you that has to be the one that listens and believes the truth. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Who Jesus is, it's been tossed around for the centuries. But the only way, the way to know, is through the eyewitness testimonies, the accounts recorded in the Word of God. Unless you hold to that Word of God as the Word of God, false teachings can creep into your life and creep into your heart. And it's not a simple, innocent mistake. Be vigilant against false teachings. Again, a false Jesus has no power to forgive your sins. A false Jesus will not redeem your soul. A symbolic Jesus is just a symbol. Only the real Jesus, the Christ revealed in the words of Holy Scripture, has the power to forgive, the power to redeem, the power to give eternal life. In the community John was sending this letter to, brothers and sisters who were in the church began to teach a different Jesus. These former congregation members considered themselves to be enlightened. They got this new knowledge, and they alone held this new knowledge, and that was the truth. Now remember, the Apostle John, he walked and he talked with Jesus. And this person, John, who walked and talked with Jesus, the apostle is the letter writer here in 1 John. And these other people in the community that were walking away from the church, turning away from the church, they did not have firsthand personal knowledge of Jesus like the Apostle John had. But they said their truth was the truth. Jesus was spiritual. He was spiritual. Jesus only appeared to have a physical body. The spiritual realm, that is good. The physical realm, that is evil. That is Greek thinking that they're pulling in. And so with that spiritual realm being good and the physical being evil, Jesus only appeared to have a physical body, for the perfect, good, and sinless Jesus could not have an evil physical body. So Jesus appeared to only have a body. Jesus only appeared to die on the cross. This group of people were teaching a false Jesus. And they were trying to get others to believe in this false Jesus. The Apostle John here in the letter, 1 John chapter 2, uses very strong words against this group. John calls them Antichristos. Antichristos, where we get the word Antichrist. They were adversaries of the Messiah. They were against the Christ. They are Antichristos. John writes that they went out, and that is, they left the fellowship. And the reason they left the fellowship is that they never were really a part of the fellowship in the first place. If they really were a part, that is, truly believers in Jesus as the Son of God, Jesus as the Christ, fully human, fully God, they would not have left the faith. But they did leave, and that is the proof that they were not one of the believers. The devil, the evil one, wants people to follow an alternative Christ. Anything but the Christ of Holy Scripture. The evil one wants you to turn aside from the real Jesus and follow some pseudo-Jesus. That is why I mentioned the article from the Daily Beast. I don't want a symbolic Jesus of contemporary discourse. I want the real Jesus, who is the Christ. the Christ that truly redeems and saves. And that is the Christ Jesus I want you to know. The real Redeemer, revealed as the Son of God and Savior of the world. I care about your soul. And only the real Jesus Christ will save your soul. I want you to know him. To know him with such unshakable faith that none of this nonsense published today will draw you away and cause you to doubt. John writes about in 1 John chapter 2, he writes about the anointing of the Holy Spirit that helps you to know. That anointing of the Holy Spirit will help you discern false teachers and keep you in the truth. Another example from the news, and this comes from Canada. The progressive Christian churches in Canada have really established inclusivity as the most important tenet that they live by. Reverend Greta Vosper, who was ordained in 1993 in the Canadian United Church, began to doubt the facts and truths of the Christian faith. And she reached the point to declare herself an avowed atheist, denying the divinity of Christ and denying that there is a God. Still, she continued to lead her church as a pastor, stressing the secular values of inclusion and compassion. Yet she's denying Christ Jesus. Her loyal following at the Protestant congregation in Toronto is described as a good place for non-believers, quoting, looking for a community that will help them create meaningful lives without God. Now, finally, after years, recommendations have been made in the United Church of Canada for her ouster. But those recommendations, they're not unanimous. For some feel the church would be turning its back on history of openness and inclusivity. But she denies Christ, that there is even a God. She wrote in 2008 a book, With or Without God, Why the Way We Live is More Important Than What We Believe. Now, how would the Apostle John respond to such a leader in the church saying the things she has said? How would you respond to someone saying the same to you? John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 these verses, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will help you discern. This is important. Who Jesus really is. For the people in Reverend Vosper's hearing, she still goes by that, as a pastor, they are not being led to the only real hope that there is found in Jesus Christ. They are not hearing the truth that there is sin, but there's also forgiveness of sin. They're not hearing the promise of eternal life that is available only through Christ Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How would the Apostle John answer this situation in a church? How would you answer from your faith, knowing Jesus is the Christ? 1 John chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. John emphasized to remain in what was taught. You don't need something new. Rather, you need to hold on to the truth that was given to you, that was taught to you from the Holy Scripture. This quest for something always new will lead you astray. Don't let that happen. Instead, firmly establish yourself on just what is taught as it was taught. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remain in Him. John emphasized that over and over. Remain in Him. As you remain in Him, that is Jesus, who is Christ, you are given a wonderful promise. Yes, you are given a promise, the promise of eternal life. Whoever has acknowledged the Son has the Father also. That is a powerful truth. Whoever confesses, publicly declares, and again, that Greek word is homologio, and it's made up of those two words, homo meaning same, and legio means to say. So to acknowledge the Son is to say the same that the Son said about Himself. To be in full agreement with what the Son said about Himself, what Jesus taught when He said, I am. To say the same as the eyewitnesses who are there with Jesus and what they testify. To say the same as them. To say the same about all the facts of the faith in Jesus Christ. To say the same as the Father said at the baptism recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. A voice from heaven said, This is my Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. At the transfiguration of Jesus, Matthew 17, verse 5, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. Listen to Him. Acknowledge the Son. Confess the Son. Believe the Son. Know the Son, Jesus, as Christ. And you will have the Father. You will have the Father. And you will have the promise. You will have eternal life. 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. See that what you heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He has promised us, eternal life. Amen.